Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is your truly Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line tonight. I know it's been a rough few weeks, but we thank God for keeping us from the last time we got together to this time, and we say to God be the glory. Yes. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Sheila G, a lot has changed since the last time we got together in the ever-changing world that is controlled by a never-changing God. I know the last time we were together, we were enduring some 100-degree hot weather.
Yep.
But we thank God that the weather has changed, and we're also seeing that we are hearing some breaking news in the nation of Israel, how they have come under attack, and that we no longer have peace in the Middle East, as they used to say. But we thank God that we have the word of God that lets us know that there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars,
right,
and how we should not get swayed one way or the other. But to know that God is in control, and that we can look to the word of God and know that none of these things catch God by surprise. And when you can trust like that, trust God like that, then you can always find comfort in his word. And so that's what we're doing tonight. The book of Romans, we're still in the first chapter, is how the Apostle Paul, who was the writer of the Gospel of Rome, came to the realization that the power of God was in his word and his righteousness in his gospel, and that it was offered to whosoever, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. But in this first chapter, Paul really gets down to the nuts and bolts and says, But people can't experience the righteousness of God because they're the darkness of their hearts, and they don't want to submit into the righteousness of God. And so that's what we have as we're experiencing this war and this turmoil in the Middle East, is that you have a group of people that will not submit to the will of God. And this is not only a problem in the Middle East, but it's a problem all over the world. It's a problem in our DMV area. It's a problem on the continent that we live in. But that's why I say the world is ever changing, but the word of God remains the same. And so just like when we studied the book of Acts and there was relevancy to the days happening in this world, even now when we study the book of Romans, we see again that it is relevant to what's going on in our society. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, it's so true. And one of the things that I've been listening to during my morning devotionals with the Joyce Meyer tape that I review, the one that she's on, the subject she's on right now, is emotions and controlling your emotions. And character is what you do when no one's looking, not what you do when someone is looking. And one of the things that's really been talked about these last couple of days is how we allow how we feel to dictate what we do instead of letting the Holy Spirit overcome the flesh and do as the Spirit. And that's what we're seeing in these wars. And even in, like you said, the turmoil here in this, we don't even have a Congress right now because everybody's in their quote-unquote feelings instead of operating within the Holy Spirit. And that is one of Satan's best tools that he uses, and it's so obvious that he will just get that flesh going and then that mouth going, then those feelings going, then it's just blind, instead of blind faith, it's blind emotion. And then you have things, like you said, it catches people off guard because everybody's been obsessed with their feelings and not leaning and depending on God.
Exactly. And that's the way the ever-changing world does. And even in our news and our politics, it lurches, Dr. G, from one thing to the next thing, and whatever's the hot topic is what they go with. And, you know, that filters into religion and filters into, you know, our church life, is that it's like from one thing to the other, you're lurching from one thing to the other. What's the hottest topic? What's the hottest thing? Instead of sticking to the basic of what Paul was saying, that, you know, it's this gospel. I'm not as ashamed of the gospel as Paul said in verse 16 in his first chapter, because he said it is the power. And so when we understand the power source, and we stick with that, then these things don't shake our foundation. I'm reminded not too long ago where the great pandemic of COVID-19 hit everybody around the world, and everybody was shaking about that. And now we have these wars in Europe, wars in the Middle East, and, you know, because of the worldwide broadcasting of the news, we see these images of war. But then also in our local situation, Dr. G, we see the images of war of young people killing young people, and so much carnage and ungodliness that if we didn't know God, we would think that the world was nothing but evil. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, it's a shame that people just don't get it with everything that's going on around us. I mean, even before the war last week with Hamas, you know, things were bad enough around here. When you wake up in the mornings and you get the death toll, where kids are killing one another, stealing cars, and doing all of the junk that's going on. But then when you wake up and you find out Hamas has invaded Israel and taken hostages and all of the images of what they've done, you know, you would think people would want to find comfort in Christ. But
amen.
I found that it's the opposite. You know, we complain, we talk about it, but we won't do anything about it.
Amen. And so the last time we got together, you said it was a calling, and this was a calling on Paul's life. And a lot of times people, well, it's up to the preachers, up to the apostles, up to the leaders of the church. But where we left off in this first chapter was, and I'm going to read now from Romans, the first chapter down to the fifth chapter, but not only was Paul called, but we who have been saved by his grace have been called. And we all have a calling on our lives. And what we have to do is we have to learn to humble ourselves and submit unto God. As Paul starts off with this first chapter in verse 1, where he says, I'm just a servant. So if we look at Romans, first chapter, beginning of verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And you know, he starts this like James starts his letter when he says he's a servant. And we talked about the last time we were together is that we come not serving man, not serving ourselves, but we come serving God. And when we can come out the door, come out the gate correct, we have a better chance of doing it the correct or the right way. And so Paul says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And so he said, I've been separated to be a bearer of good news. I've been separated to bear the good news of God. I've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light to be able to present this gospel. This is a calling that God has on our lives. And those of us who have received a salvation by faith through grace, we all have a calling on our life to carry out as servants the work of God, to present the gospel wherever we may be. And Paul goes on to say that this calling in this gospel is based upon Scripture. So in verse 2 it says, which we had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And the last time we got together, we were talking about how important it was to not only just know God, but to know his word. And to be able to not only know his word, but to live his word. And so you, not only do you know God, you know his word, but you can live his word. And this is what Paul was based upon. He said, I know God, I know his word and the scriptures, and this is what I'm living. And those are the three pillars of being effective a Christian in this world, is to know God, know his word, and to live his word. All of this by faith. And so Paul goes on to share in verse 33, Romans 1:3, so concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so I'm going to go over to the NIV and read those first three. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ, Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. So he goes all the way back to the lineage of David. Of this is how the gospel came. This is how the gospel came down through David, which was promised by the prophets that he was coming. And then he continues on in verse 4, and this says, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it all folds down to Christ Jesus being our Lord, being given the power of righteousness by his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so now this is the power source, the power structure for the rest of the world to be saved by grace, to realize that they have received faith, they have received salvation in Jesus Christ, who has defeated death and the grave. And so I say the death and the grave is because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so because of Christ's life, because he fulfilled prophecy, because of his death, because of his burial, because of his resurrection, he defeated death in the grave. He defeated death in the grave, the power, which is the power and the penalty of sin. And so we no longer are under the power and the penalty of sin because of God's saving grace raised through the work of his son. And so this is the foundation of Christianity that will free people all over this globe from the knowledge and the consciousness and the beatdown of sin. And when you have been delivered from that, now you can live an abundant life that God had intended for you to live. But again, you have to know God, you have to know his word, and you have to know by faith how to live his word to be experiencing that. And so this is what Paul is going to the Romans. This is what Paul is going to tell them. This is what Paul is living before them. And this is what Paul is trying to get them to understand. This is one of his most, they call it his eloquent letters, most theological letters that he's writing to the scholars at Rome. But let us pick back up in verse 5 where he says, by whom we have received grace. I'm back on the King James now. By whom we have received grace and apostleship or obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So this is the grace. This is the grace that Paul has received as apostleship. This is the grace that we have received our calling, that we, through obedience, through faith, can present this gospel to all other nations. And the gospel that we are presenting is in verse 6. He says, among whom ye also are called of Jesus Christ. And so I say all that to say that the letter is purposeful. It's instructing of how the gospel was fulfilled, the prophecy was fulfilled, how Paul got his calling, how he was saved by grace, how we were saved by grace, how we have all been a beneficial of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and being delivered from the power of the penalty of sin and the grave, death in the grave. And so now this message is for all nations, that you don't have to live in sin anymore, that you don't have to be under the power and the penalty of sin anymore, that you can be delivered by the work of Christ, his finished work through his son, Jesus Christ. And so now all of this is available. And so this is what we're trying to share with the world. But to me, Sheila G, is that there's always going to be something that's like a shiny ball that's going to distract you from presenting the gospel. It's always going to be something that's going to take your focus off, whether it's a argument in the church, whether it's a falling out of friends, whether it's a bombing of another nation, whether it's a evil rearing its ugly head and showing the most barbaric part of human existence without God. It's always a shiny ball, and we forget the whole purpose of being in the body of Christ is to share the good news so these people who are affected by this will have hope and be able to overcome evil with the good news and good of Jesus Christ. Sheila G.
Amen. That's why I lean on one of those phrases that Minister Polly Henry used to share with us during our women's meetings, was that you can be in an unhappy situation but still have joy. She taught us that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a feeling. Happiness is based off what you see. Joy is the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is where you get your strength. But to your initial point, you have to know God, know his word, so that you can live his word. If you know God, you know his word, you live his word, then you can show to others that you can be in an unhappy situation and has an unhappy feeling, but still have joy and still have peace, because that comes from the Lord. And how many times have people seen us as Christians in a tough situation and they say, man, I don't know how you got through it. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you made it through. You know, I was just talking to my husband this evening about how what he had to go through with his first, you know, his first wife, and how he had to raise the two kids on his own, and God brought us together. But it wasn't easy, and there were times where he had to go past his feelings, where he literally, the only thing that kept him going was his faith, because if he went by his feelings, he may have been in a jail someplace. or
I know that's right.
Not have been spared, but it was like he took that abuse. But I used to watch him every day. This was before he became pastor or anything. I've known him since he was a minister, and he, even though he would be hurt, he'd be tears, things would be going through, he would get up, he would still go to church, he'd take his kids to church, and somehow after that service was over, he had peace, even though that situation was ugly.
Amen, amen. And this is the peace that surpasses all understanding. And this is what Paul was so excited about, because he found that there was failure in the law, where the law was the schoolmaster, the teacher, to show us that we needed the righteousness of God, that we needed the grace of God. And so when he got the revelation, and when God knocked him off his high horse, we saw that in Acts, And said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And once he realized that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the old prophets, of Isaiah and the old prophets, then he realized that it wasn't something that you did, but it was something that you believed. You believed by faith. It's like you couldn't work for the salvation. You had to receive it by faith. God's grace by faith. And that's why the scripture teaches, I believe it's Ephesians 2:8, it says you're saved by grace through faith. And God's grace is his son who became the propitiation or the stand-in for our sin. And so that's how, Sheila G., you say you got that, you have this peace, even in the midst of a messed up situation. So sort of like we're still having the hangover of COVID.
Yep.
For 2.5 years, and now you have the onset of fresh wars and wars that are already going on, and then you have the uproar of the young people killing each other and causing all kind of carnage in their own neighborhood. But these things are not new, and it might seem a little uncaring. But when you read the Bible, and I asked somebody to go back to the book of Genesis this week, and I said, you know, the first family was dysfunctional. You had Cain who slew his brother Abel.
Yep.
And then he broke bad with God, and God asked him, Where is your brother? And he broke bad with God and said, am I my brother's keeper? So you've had this dysfunction. You've had killings and families and disobedience to God from the beginning. And so these things shouldn't catch us by surprise. Even with COVID, when we told people, they said, well, look at God, what he said. He said that if there's pestilence in the land, if there's famine in the land, he said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so there's a constant need of healing of the human. But the human is trying to heal and trying to provide his own salvation, his own healing, instead of turning to God. And in this first chapter, Paul, he deals with a lot of stuff. If you read that first chapter, I mean, he's going to get down and he's going to start calling spade a spade. He's going to call the wicked wicked. And at some point, we're going to have to get past our feelings and people getting hurt and say, look, you know, you can fake the funk for a little while. I think you said that last week, last time we were together, Sheila. But without God, you're in trouble. And you can self-medicate, you can try to twist it up, you can worship the creation instead of the creator, but in the end, every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so to the Jew, to the Greek, to the least, to the less, to the greatest, to the best, everybody's going to have to bow the knee to the creator. And Paul is excited about preaching this gospel because it is the power. It has the ability to have a faith response by people. And the last time we got together, he said, you know, faith come by hearing the word of God. And so all of us need to know God, know his word, live his word, present this, because that's the only way, Dr. G, this world is going to change. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the bottom line is, until people get to the point where they understand that we need God, God does not need us. And until
Hello.
We get a personal Hello. Relationship with the Lord, I don't care how cute we are, it doesn't matter how long or how much you go to church, what you put in the tithing, it, none of that matters unless you have a real relationship with the Lord. And when you look at Paul, that's the thing that really stands out. Paul had his moment, but when God
mm-hmm.
got his attention, and the thing is, Lord is trying to get people's attention. But for some
Amen.
Folks, we're just hard-headed. You know, no matter what God does, we're going to continue to do what we want. You know, last Sunday, and I thank God for it, Sarita came back and rededicated her life to the Lord.
Amen.
And you feel the peace that she had. She was in tears and everything else. But
mm-hmm.
there was something, it's something about that you may be out there in the world, but when the
yeah.
Lord your attention, and you come,
yeah.
you rededicate yourself back to the Lord, you know then, just like Paul knew, that this thing with Jesus is real.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's what it takes. And again, it goes back to that peace that God will give you. So let's go to verse 7 and 8, and I'm going to the NIV. It says, to all in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but you can't put a dollar amount on peace.
No.
There's no amount of money that can take peace, because you can have peace with a little bit.
Yeah.
You can have, and peace is something, I'm not talking about the peace that the world gives. I'm talking about peace that God can give. And
right.
so Paul is expressing that he has peace now that he knows God that way. He knows God through faith that he's his Lord and Savior. He knows that God has the power to change people. And he says, I'm writing to you in love and those who are called. He says, grace and peace. And what the world needs, Sheila G, is a whole lot more grace and
yes.
peace.
Yes.
Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants peace. And what he said with grace is like something you don't deserve, but you get it anyway.
Right.
It's sort of like mercy. It's sort of like something that says, I'm going to look past your fault.
Yep.
And I'm going to see your need, and I'm going to give you what you need because I love you.
Yep.
And because of this action, now you'll have peace. And Paul said this only comes through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have grace and you can't have this peace, and you can't experience and share love without God. And the sooner the humankind can get there, the better off he'll be, because truly war is not the answer. That's what the songwriter wrote back in the 70s, I believe, it was Marvin Gaye.
Yeah,
and he would say, what's going on? and he said, war is not that. War is not to the answer. And God is trying to give you his love. God is trying to give you his grace. God is trying to give you his peace through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody wants to hear, because we're selfish individuals.
Yeah.
We're selfish. We want
yeah.
everything our way. It's just like our Congress is dysfunctional right now, because everybody wants it their own way. It's like
yeah.
you're going to your job and it's dysfunctional in your job because everybody wants it their own way. You can't even drive on the road, the highway, the beltway, or even in your neighborhood, because everybody wants it their own way. You can't even live in your neighborhood because one neighbor wants their tree to be on your side, and you want their tree to be on, or their fence to be on this side, or someone to cut your grass or park on this side of the street, because we don't have the love of God. We don't have the grace and the peace of God to say, it's just grass. it's just a lane. It's just a title, but it doesn't mean anything without God. And when we begin to have that peace and that knowledge in God, what happens is we won't always try to have our way. And that's what's happening around the world. It's happening around the world from generation to generation, is that selfishness, that old man that wants to lie and connive and have it his way. And that doesn't lead into peace. That doesn't lead to grace. That doesn't lead to love. What that does, it leads to death and destruction. And that's what we experience in this world without God. And I don't know about you, but I like peace. I like grace, and I like love. Uh-huh. Help me out, Sheila G.
Well, two things that we need to put on a bumper sticker, that you and Pastor G said, a T-shirt hanging from the walls. You said people want to worship the creation instead of the creator. And Pastor G said, we need God. God doesn't need us. That needs to, those Amen. Two things need to be blasted from the mountaintops, because this world has that backwards. They don't realize that everything that we touch, everything that we see, every step that we make comes from the creator of God. But we're going to worship the thing, which is carnal, instead of worship God, which is everlasting. And we walk around with arrogance, or just like we're seeing in Congress, or just like we're seeing in the war, the arrogance mm-hmm. of this is that God can't handle this. So you know what, God, you go over there, sit down, and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna take care of this, not realizing that we can't even have a battle or have a fight. Even if you look in your Old Testament, those wars that they won or lost was by God's mm-hmm. direction. Also, because somebody was being disobedient. If they won, it's because they were like with Gideon. It was because God
right.
took
right.
that belief in faith. So whether it's a war that you win or a war that you lose, or God is still the one that is controlled, the creator, as well as he does not need us, we need him.
Amen, amen. And the key is to realize that God has called us to be his holy people.
Yep.
And you know, you look at that verse 7, it says God called to be his holy people. God didn't call us to be ungodly people. He wants us to come from being ungodly.
Ugly.
He called us to be a holy people, and to realize that we were called And that we belong to Jesus Christ. Go back to that verse 6. He says, and you also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And the King James is, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. And it says, to all that be at Rome, beloved, God called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to know our calling. Our calling and election is sure. We have to know that we've been called by Jesus Christ. We've been loved by him. And he wants us to have his grace and his peace. But he wants us to be a holy people. But
uh-huh.
too many times, Dr. G, we take holiness as an option. Say, today I'm going to be holy, but tomorrow I'm going to be ungodly. And then sometimes it's not a day. Sometimes it's from hour to hour. Well, I'm going to be holy on this, but I'm not going to be holy on that. It's like, you know, we wishy-washy. We like lukewarm. God said, I don't like lukewarm. It can be hot or cold. And I don't think people understand what God is really designed them to be or called them to be. And they kind of like pick and choose, like the old country buffet or the Golden Corral, of what they want when they want it, and just kind of pick and choose and eat what they want. But in that manner, you missed out on what God wants you to do and how God wants you to live. Dr. G.
Well, you know, while you were talking, I was sitting there thinking, really, This goes back to the Old Testament when God chose the Israelites. He wanted them to be holy, and they were in bondage. And as long as they were in bondage, they would humble themselves. But the moment that they were set free, they got wild and they got crazy. And from that first generation, they never really became the type of chosen people that God wanted. Forward to where we are today. You talk about modern day Christians. We are some of the worst people out here. And you know, we preach, we teach, we try to get them to understand that we're supposed to be living epistles. You know, let people see the love in Christ within you.
Right.
But like we talked about, let them emotions creep in, and we go from one moment to the other. Modern-day Christians will cuss you out worse than some of the secular people. And we wonder why people don't want to come into the church, because they get that junk outside the church. And until we as the people understand that if God has called us, yes, he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be just like him. And it's not a thing where we pick and choose, well, today I feel better, I'm going to turn on the holiness. Tomorrow, I don't feel it, so I'm going to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing has got to be one way or the other. Joshua told the people, choose ye this day whom you're going to
serve.
But as for me and my house,
we're going to serve
the Lord. And we've got to get to that point, because it is a matter of choice.
Amen. It's like you said, it's all throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and God hasn't hidden it from anybody. He's revealed it, but we have to continue to rely on the power of God, and God allows these situations, these global situations, to pop up and crop up to get us to turn back to God. And I don't know how people think that man's going to resolve all these things without God. It's just not going to happen. It has to be something where we have to humble ourselves. I don't care how powerful you are and what office you hold. If you don't turn to God for the wisdom and the knowledge and the guidance to be able to deal with people, you're going to come up short, and you know, then you're going to turn to blows, and then the blows going to turn to blows, and then, you know, all the peace and the grace and love is going out the window. It's who has the biggest bomb, who has the biggest weapon to just blow up my way out of it. And that's not of God. That is of Satan, you know, because God said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And people are just going in the opposite direction. But, and we're going to go to the phone line shortly, but I wanted to go to verse 8. And Paul starts off thanking God about the faith of the people, that the faith of the people that he was writing to, the church in Rome, that these people's faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. That is saying a whole lot, that the faith of the church is spoken of throughout the whole world. I don't even know if you can get it from door to door no more, Sheila G. but the faith, in other words, how we're acting, we're behaving holy, we're talking holy, we're showing grace, we're showing mercy, we're showing love. And so Paul says, I thank God, you know, that, and I'm reading verse 8, for I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He said, I thank you for your faith. I thank you for your faith, that this is a faith that can be spoken throughout the whole world. I think sometimes we forget about the word thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that. Thank you. Tell somebody thank you for your faith. So tell the faithful few members that are at your church, thank you for your faith. Thank you for your steadfastness. Thank you for your participation in ministry. Thank you for continuing to support ministry. And know that by them doing that, that it's affecting the world that they live in. And if everyone would live for Christ in the world that they live in on a day-to-day basis, then they would also go out even greater things, as Paul says, you know, throughout the entire world. And so we can change the world one faith, one person of faith at a time, that in your world that you live in your environment, in your influence that you live in, that you can live a holy and a faithful life. And so Paul said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And so we have to say thank you to people. We have to appreciate people. Sometimes we take folk for granted. And every now and then we just have to say thank you for your ministry. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for so many different things. Thank you for just being you, you know. And that encourages us individually and collectively to continue on, because sometimes we live in a thankless world.
Yeah.
We are thankless on our job, thankless in our homes, thankless in our churches. And Paul starts his letter off, and this is going to be a rough letter, but he starts off with a thank you. Because he's going to get a little rough later on down the road. So he's starting off with a thank you. And sometimes we have to start off with thank you and recognize the positives and the good things in a person.
Yep.
And then sometimes you have to go a little deeper, a little further, and bring up some of the things that are outstanding, or the action plan that needs to take place. If you're dealing, like you deal with HR, you just can't make everything bad, but you deal with the positives, and then you point out the challenges and put an action plan in the action to improve for their success. And you have to see, this is Paul's style of writing, that he thanks God for their faith. And he recognizes the only way that they're going to be able to continue to live that way and get better is through their faith. Sheila G.
Amen. As you were talking about that, I'm thinking about especially this last client that I have, where there was so much negativity and animosity between the accounting department and the other departments that it was really some ugly emails going back and forth. And one of the things that the CFO thanked me for this week was, as I'm beginning to wind down, is the positive energy that I brought in, because it helped to bring the confidence to everyone and to help people. And she said one thing that she showed the team and the staff was to look past the noise and focus on the goal and get better at what they needed to do, so that if something was ugly, because she had gotten rid of all the people that were just complete naysayers that she couldn't help, but it, to help build the confidence, if something happened, okay, it happened, let's fix it, let's put something in place and move forward. And they were getting a lot of nasty responses, even though they were doing the right thing, because by them doing the right thing, it was exposing the errors of the other departments. But I taught them, look past the noise, take the win. At the end of the day, you were right, and what you said was right, and you put it into place. Whether or not they put in a whole bunch of, like you said, that shiny object, a lot of things that are irrelevant just to basically piss you off, ignore that. Take the win. So now one of the things that the responses have been is when things have come out or come negative, they look past the negativity, get down to the brass tacks, say, okay, thank you, we missed you today too, but thanks for the information, move on. Take the win and be positive about it. So there's always a way, like Ma used to say, take a lemon and make lemonade. And
right.
Is what we as Christians have to bring. So even the ones in other departments that may not necessarily know me to the point of what my personal life, it's come back that, oh, you're Sheila Gregory. You're the one that's kind of like coming here and, you know, put everything together and shine light. I'm like, nope, it's not me. It is the God in me. I said, but it's the team. It's the team. And it's even the team that have messed up sometimes, we can still show that positivity.
Absolutely.
Take the win. And that's how Paul is doing. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you the win first, but we're going to fix it. We're going to look at it. But in order to go to that next level, this is what needs to happen, because we can't stay here. Because if we stay here, Satan will eat your butt alive. You got to go like that next level, another devil, another level, another devil. That's why we can't stay babes in Christ. We have to continue to grow. But to your point, as we grow, we got to take the win at the level that we're at, but go ahead to the next level.
Exactly. That's one of the things that they teach you in management, is that you have to, you just can't be all negative. You have to point out the positives as well, and work toward the challenges and give the tools necessary to be successful, and then follow up and assist whatever way you can to help the team to be overall successful. But it takes instruction, it takes time. Like you said, they're bringing you as a consultant. So the Holy Spirit is our consultant in living Christian life.
Right.
So we have to know the Holy Spirit and be thankful for his faithful servant. So that's going to be my question tonight to our group is, as we look over our lives and our growth in Christianity, who are we thankful for because of their faith in Jesus Christ? You know, there might be one or two people that their faith has been demonstrated, and you're thankful for their faith because, you know, it has helped you in your Christian journey. One of the two people that have helped me is my mom and dad, to see their faithfulness along their Christian journey, and I thank God for their faithfulness. Learned this week, Dr. G, I don't know if you've heard or not, but the wife of my father in the ministry, Pastor Fields' wife, Mary Kay Fields, passed on yesterday. And she's a faithful woman of God. And, you know, when we first got into ministry, it was early, like 1990, when we first got into ministry, she and Pastor were instrumental in encouraging Tawana and I, my wife, to be encouraged in ministry, you know, realizing that ministry is not easy for a husband and wife with young children. And their faithfulness in that was beneficial. So I thank God for her faithfulness and her example. It's not easy being a first lady. You have to live it to understand it. But thank God for her, and again, my mom and dad. So we wanted to open up the line tonight. Were you thankful for their faithfulness in ministry? So we're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Truly, I am grateful for my mom and my dad and what they taught me, and seeing the Christ in them and what they went through. And even when my father passed, my mother and I, our fellowship got even stronger, because it got to the point where we prayed together a lot and encouraged each other in the Word. And she just done so much, and I thank God for the blessing. I also thank God, many mentors, Christian, Pastor Kayson, Pastor Gregory, Dignus Nash, Evangelist Gregory, just so many that I could just name that has helped me a lot. A lot of people have helped me along this spiritual path. And I thank God for that blessing. And I'm still learning. Even the past pastor, Pastor Carter and Reverend Stewart, just so many people that just touched my life. And as I think sometime of the younger years when I started out, Sister Evelyn Jordan, how she plays a tremendous role when I started out, First John Canaan, and she taught me a lot in Christian education. I just thank God for the blessing, and I'm still learning, and I just pray that I can share what God has allowed me to receive, that I'll be able to share it with other people and, you know, inspire somebody else. And I just thank God for the many, many people that have touched my life. It has been a lot, and I thank God for the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes.
Good evening.
I'm thankful for, first of all, my mother. She was the first, my first, all of our first, because we all was always in church. We knew the Lord at an early, early age. But I just thank her for putting her foot down. You go out here to these clubs and stuff, and you think you're going to come in here and ain't going to church? Oh, I don't think so. No.
I know that's right.
Do what you do, you can still go to church. And I'm just thankful for that, because she lets you know that who she was serving, like Joshua, and that was her household, you know? So I'm just thankful to her. And then after I got involved in New Birth and really made my mind up, I'm thankful for my pastor and my first lady, because they were very, very helpful. Very, very helpful. See, because he would, I was crazy about him, because I liked the way he preached and I liked him. He would call a spade a spade. You know, if it was his children doing it, he's getting up there in the pulpit and talk about it. If it was your children, he's going to talk about that too. So, you know, the fairness, the amount of fairness that he showed, he distributed. He was just a good, helpful person to me. Once I made up my mind, I ain't looking back. That's all. And I'm just thankful to having people in your life like that will help you no matter what. They will still help you and do what they can to help you. So I'm grateful that God put him at New Birth. I really am. And I'm thankful.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We'll go to our next call. Last four digits, 7611. 7611. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I didn't have but a boss. Strong lady. And that was my grandmother. And she stuck it in me and it carried me all this time. And I get some tickles out of it when I call a friend of mine, Grandma Lindsay. I call her.
Yeah.
And she put something, and I asked her a question, and she lays it down to me, and she reminds me of my grandmother. And she just goes through, and she just won't stop until she gets to the point that she done explained to me what she wanted to tell me. And I'd be questioning her all the time, and I'd be thinking and say, where is she coming from? She's good at doing it. She's just like my grandma. She would sit there down between her legs, and we just sit there and study that book Bible all the time. And she comb my hair, and she just get on up and study your books and get on the bed, boy, because you got to get up early in the morning. Yes, ma'am. But I used to enjoy her every day, sitting down between her legs and just call her and ask her a question and whatnot, and she explained to me just how it would go, and I had to stay with it. It didn't last me to where it is today. It kept me this far, and the God has been with me. Let me stay this far and this long. I'm so happy that I stay on the track, because I usually have some rough times out in the streets. But I'm still didn't know where it came from and what I got from. And I'm so thankful, Father, that he had let me stay here for a long time and let me stay for a whole lot of friends of mine that don't. I'm so blessed that God let me stay his own. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 5236. 5236. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I don't want to say this wrong.
Yeah, the question was just their faithfulness that you're grateful for, their faithfulness in your life.
So for me, of course, my parents, my grandparents, and my all my aunts and uncles have definitely impacted me, and I've been grateful to be able to have a lot of people in my ear, and honestly, I had a lot of positive influences, a lot of people to kind of get in my case and you know, be able to tell me when I'm wrong. So I definitely give the praise to everybody in my life. So I'm grateful.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, good evening. All right, we'll come back to that one. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'd probably say definitely my parents. You know, they gave me the foundation, even though I didn't realize I was standing on it, you know, all this time. You know, I think sometimes when you get older, as we've always stated, you know, the things our parents tell us, whether it's worldly advice or those parents of ours who were in church, you know, they always quoted scripture telling us things, and we're just like, look, you keep beating me over the head with this religion. But like I said, when you start living life, you start going through some things and start to click and make sense. So I definitely appreciate my parents never giving up on me as far as learning to love God and having my own relationship with God. And then, you know, as I began to grow, you know, the Lord allowed it so that I entered into New Birth Baptist Church. And, you know, I think my relationship started to become more serious. I started to learn and grow in the body of Christ. But Pastor Gregory and Sister Gregory tell you, it was a little bit uncomfortable, because every time they would put something on me or ask, I'm like, ah, man, that's I don't know what God you're talking to, but I don't know. And he's like, yeah, you know, once you play the piano and I want you to do this, I'm like, I'm not a minister of music. And he was like, don't worry about it. You know, we got your back. God's going to work it out. And at the time, I'm just fearful, because I'm just thinking I'm going to mess up. But they had more faith in me than I had in myself. And they knew and saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And I thank God for individuals like that, because even though I wasn't with it, they said okay with the smile, and guess what, I still reluctantly did it, and then guess what happened, I started to get more and more comfortable with it, and it became second nature. And the growing process, as painful and as uncomfortable as it is, it's necessary. And had they not pushed me, had they not been in my ear, had I had not those talks in the study or those text messages from Sister Gregory, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am today. So, you know, I thank them for having faith in me, because I just took it as, hey, I'm coming here, I'm playing the piano. But, you know, looking at what it metamorphosized into, you know, it was nothing else but God, but also God putting the right patient people in my life to say, look, we're going to work on them. It's not going to be overnight, and even as far as I've come, I still have a ways to go, and I still know the formula, you know, to work hard, to be consistent, and try to just get better each day. But, you know, when you have a support system and God's put people around you, patience is so critical, because I think we live in a world so many times family give up on you, friends give up on you so quickly, but when God allows it to say, look, you're not where you want to be, but I'm going to put some folks around you that are going to be there for you through the ups and downs, through the milestones, through the setbacks, and continue to watch you grow and give you that support and constructive criticism you need. Because I didn't like everything I heard, but guess what? I'm glad I heard it, because not one thing that was put on my plate or asked of me didn't benefit me in the long run. And that's the crazy part. We think it's to our detriment, but it's like, no, this is going to help you grow and help you get better. But as I started to take the journey more serious and realize, like, they're helping me, they're not, the uncomfortable part is just, you know, partly me, but partly like just Satan trying to say, nah, you don't want to do that, you want to stay in that comfort zone. But it's like, how else are you supposed to grow unless you put that pressure on there and you learn and you try to do something that is outside of what you think your limits are? Even I thought I had exceeded my limits, you know, when it came to mm-hmm. Christianity, but then I realized, like, there's so much more inside of me and so much more in all of us. I said this yesterday on the call. I've seen the growth in our entire church because it started with the pastor and the first lady challenging people and pushing people to say, look, we're in a great environment, a mistake-free environment. Step outside your comfort zone. So what if you don't know how to pray? Pray. So what if you're not the greatest singer in the world? Sing. So what if you're not the greatest reader in the world? Read some scripture. We may not have a church full of ushers, but get up and greet somebody and help them to their seat. And when we have a meeting, greet, go say hello and talk about the goodness of God. We don't have to be perfect in it. We just got to be us, and us is enough. But again, you know, I think my parents, number one, but I definitely thank the pastor and first lady, and also you, Reverend Kayson. You know, we've had some talks and some chats, and you've also challenged me as well. So, you know, I just thank you guys for being in my corner. And, you know, I look forward to having a healthy Christian relationship with all of you guys, because, you know, God's not done with none of us, and we still have work to do. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go back to 7971. 7971, good evening. 7971. I think they're having phone challenges tonight. But Sheila G, Dr. G, I'll give you guys a chance to share your testimony and close us out in prayer.
Amen. I definitely have a number of people that have encouraged me, from our parents, from our aunts and uncles, grandparents. And even as siblings, we encouraged each other. I remember when both of us would be sick, we would encourage each other. And, you know, I shared before about my husband when we were dating, how when God put me in his life, to see his face as to what he went through. And even though emotionally he would be upset, he would still draw on his faith and recover from it. That way I learned a lot from him. And even in my church family, like you said, we have to encourage one another. We may be leadership in the church, but we're at the end of the day servants, and we get encouraged by those in our church family, and we always on Wednesdays thank each other for each other.
Amen.
Well, for me, I would have to give my parents kudos because even though they did not come to Christ until later on, but they instilled the right moral values in us, the way they raised us. And then once they came to Christ, I saw the change that took place in their life. But kudos go to my very first pastor, Joseph W. King. Under him, I learned what humility was and how you can love your church and you do what's best for your church family. And, I mean, I watched that man go through hell, but yet he continued to preach hard. He continued to love his church. And then I must give honor to my second pastor, even though then during the first few years I learned a lot. And after I left, things kind of changed with him because he became more confined to a title. But I've also got to thank God for all of the pastors that I got a chance to hang around when I was young in my ministry or through the concerned clergy. Prince George's County. So each pastor, I learned a lot from them, to the point where God helped me to be what I am now, to pastor New Birth and go through all that we go through. Then I've got to give our girlfriend here her kudos, because I've watched her. And although we have our moments, but she has grown into a fine, faithful Christian woman. And I think I've only seen her one time kind of being pulled out of that mold where she really had to go off on folk. But I've got to give Sheila, you know, her kudos, because I've learned a lot from her. And then sitting there listening to her as being the executive consultant, I've watched her go client to client to client. And everyone that she goes to, she brings that same energy, that positive thinking. And when she's about to leave, they don't want her to leave. And, you know, there's something that she tried to get her back after she's left. So, you know, we give God all praise for that. And I think those persons have really been instrumental in my spiritual growth. Let us bow our heads at this point. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more day. We thank you, Lord, for being able to get together during this time. Father, we thank you for Paul and what he taught us. Thank you, Lord, for the life that Paul had to live. Oh, God, we thank you for all that he learned and for his ministry.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for this Bible study. I thank you that in all of the years that we've been together, Lord, we've gone up in numbers, but we've gone down. But never have we given up. Oh, God, we thank you for Pastor Kason. Thank you for Minister Sheila. And, Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless us in what we do. Father, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.